Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Beth and Elise, you actually had set up the perfect segue to our final segment, which was what was your favorite scene or one of your favorite scenes from the film and why? Why did it resonate with you? And I mean, I think for a lot of people, that scene was incredibly moving. I'm curious if people have other favorite parts from the film. Don't be shy. We have lots of people who haven't spoken. Judy, welcome.
Hi, I'm Judy. I'm from Peru, South America.
Wow.
So, yeah. Hi, and actually, hi. You cannot see my face because I'm on transportation heading to my work. So, as for us here in Peru, for Lima, it's been really, really helpful because people here in Peru, they don't even know what cystic fibrosis is. They, it's like, I went through the papers and newspapers and said, yeah, but it's just fiction. You know, this doesn't happen. This is just a love story. So I kept on, like, since the premiere here that was last Thursday, started writing back all these people saying, yes, it does exist. My son's got it. He's 12. The average of for living for a CF patients, it's here in Peru, it's just 12 to 15 years because of lack of treatment, because lack of knowledge about it. So for the premiere, we got the, I got in touch with the distribution office for the movie. So we got invited a lot of people and local artists to go see the movie and do some for people like announcements, like commercials and yes. And video themselves, inviting people. Yes, this does exist. I know someone who does have cystic fibrosis. Yeah. I used my son's picture next to the banner of the movie, the 5 feet apart. And say, yeah, this is my son. He's got CF, and this is it. This is how we live in Peru. We don't have many doctors. And I even invited the doctors from pneumologists from Peru, and they went to the movie. And now we get a little bit more in touch with them since Thursday. So I think even there, it's a movie. It's not a documental. Has put us on the eye of the storm for cystic fibrosis. Only in 2 days, 11,000 people went to see the movie, and they know about now what it is here in Peru and that it exists here. So, and for yesterday, 60,000 people went to see the movie. So for us, for the cystic fibrosis community in Peru, it's really, really important that this is showing to everyone. So I know it's different from the United States and other countries around the world, but I think this is a big step for us, a huge step. So as other people have been saying, okay, about the mask, about the coughing and about that, all that, yeah, it's, maybe it's overact, maybe it's they forgot some stuff, but overall, it's what we do. You do the treatments, you do the medicine, you do the therapies, you do the hospitalization. You cannot, my son, he knows that he doesn't have to be less than 5 feet apart or 6 feet apart from other CFers. So it's been good for us. It's been good for us, you know? So hopefully, I mean, other doors open for our community here. We're fighting for that.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that because, you know, it is we are fortunate. We're a rare disease, but we do have a little more visibility than a lot of other rare diseases. And this is just such a good reminder, too, about the power of the movie beyond the borders of the United States and in other countries where there is very little awareness. And thank you for sharing your story. And we are thinking of your son. So.
Thank you.
Hello, Kyle.
Hey, so one thing I kind of wanted to address is the this idea of how important accuracy is in a film. I worked at this institute called the Harmony Institute. It was started by the people who founded BuzzFeed, and they wanted a way to academically measure impact on society by media. And one of the studies they did was comparing Avatar with An Inconvenient Truth and trying to figure out which had a bigger impact on society in terms of climate change and the environment. What they actually found was that Avatar had a bigger impact because it reached people in an emotional place as opposed to just having accurate facts. And it also reached outside the box of, you know, you could kind of say the people who saw An Inconvenient Truth were probably already aware to an extent of, you know, climate change. But Avatar sort of brought that into a broader conversation with people who weren't necessarily interested in the impact of environment. And I think when you're making a film like something like 5 Feet Apart, it's important to stay accurate, but also stay accurate to the emotional impact of the film. And if the film resonates emotionally and makes people feel something, that will inherently have a longer lasting, you know, impact on what they think of CF than if they were just like, okay, you know, they were a little off here, they were a little off there. Most people will never know that, but they'll remember enough and they'll question and they'll want to know more. And I think that's extremely important in a film like 5 Feet Apart.
Excellent point. That's fascinating. And of course, while I have you there, don't go away, because I do want to know what one of your favorite scenes is.
I think I don't know, there was a lot of really good scenes. I think the ones that I felt a very personal connection to, sort of the scene where he's standing on a ledge and, you know, he's kind of considering jumping and we don't really know. And I feel like I've had those moments in my life where I'm like, this disease is so awful, I don't want to live anymore. And I know that's like kind of a bad thing to say, but I think that's true to my experience of like,
and I
think to you know, there is a strong mental health component to fighting a disease that will eventually win. And it's common to have depression and suicidal thoughts are common, and we don't talk about it as much. And I think for that film to capture that nuance in such a way was very honest to something I felt, and I can't necessarily bring up to people I don't know or people who know me that have CF but don't really understand the psychological damage that this disease can have.
Thank you. Jacob, do you have a favorite?
So I think my favorite part of the movie, so I'm big on like representation and intersectionality, so having Poe in the movie, as you know, a gay man, was really spoke to me as a gay man myself, and so it was like, oh, that's me, right? LGBT community within the CF community, right? The intersection of like rare disease and, you know, the sexual orientation. So that was so awesome to see that. You know, having CF can be very isolating, and having kind of a non-mainstream sexual orientation can be very isolating. Mm-hmm. And so when those come together, you can feel like completely lost and alone, that, you know, who in my community could I really connect with? And the struggles of, you know, being gay and having cystic fibrosis and the unique issues within that, or specifically, you know, other aspects of Poe, right, the being a person of color and being in the CF community, it is very difficult navigating certain health spaces and being taken seriously. And honestly, I know that we've had issues of people being misdiagnosed because of, you know, their ethnicity. And so it was so great to see some really solid representation and some those more unique aspects of the CF community when you get down to it. So
yeah.
I felt very seen. I appreciated that.
Everybody loved Poe. Yeah. Well, why do Bo have to die? Oh, sorry, spoiler alert. Anybody else, Mary?
Anna has some favorites.
Anna, please share.
Hi. Okay, so I think I can kind of piggyback off of what Kyle said, like some of the parts where they were talking about how the disease makes them feel, because we don't talk about that enough. A lot of us just like, we just do our thing. We've been doing it for years. We go about our daily lives and we just keep going. We don't stop to express our feelings or talk about how sometimes the disease does make you go to the darkness, right? And it might take a while to get out of it, especially if you get really, really sick and you end up in the hospital. Or like I just had a recently pretty large lung function decrease, not sure why. And we're expected to just kind of carry on and not really talk about, you know, how that makes you feel about your future or even, you know, what's going on currently. One of the things that really resonated with me, I mean, we already talked about the scene where they like, you know, are at the pool and they take their clothes off. I'm 32 and I'm still not comfortable with myself and I'm married. So I'm just going to lay that out there that I don't think I'll ever personally be comfortable with the way I look in a bathing suit, let alone anything else. So, and I think we need to talk about that because I think that's very real. And the part where they were on the couch, it was like Poe and Stella, and Poe was talking about how he was in that relationship with Michael. I think the boy's name was Michael. And how he felt like he didn't want to be a burden to Michael. And that is why he kept leaving relationships. Even though they made him so happy, he didn't want to be that burden. It took me a very long time, personally, to get over that idea and to really, I don't know if I'm really over it, but like to accept that and to allow myself to be loved and accepted by my husband. You know, to me, I'm always going to be, you know, as much as we are independent, at some point we're going to be dependent on somebody else. And for us to not recognize that or feel that, you know, it's kind of you're living in like a sort of fantasy world, right? So like at some point I'm going to get so sick. I don't know what it is. It might not be for 10, hopefully 20 years. Now, you know, exaggerating maybe, but you don't know, but you do know that you are going to be dependent on somebody else and you are going to need them, not just, you know, physically to help you, but even financially. Right. So, and you've kind of like, you've grown up that way. Like I lived with my parents until I was 30. Cause I was very dependent on the idea of, you know, financially, I couldn't afford to move out because of medical costs and other things. So I think like for that to me was like, yeah, that, I get it. Like that is how I felt for, and still sometimes feel for so long that like you don't want to bring that burden onto somebody else. You don't want them to have to bear that responsibility or carry that load. So it took me a while to really accept that. So I think for me, like, you know, that scene was kind of like, yeah, that, exactly.
Wow. Thank you, Anna, for sharing that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. I guess I'm kind of just piggybacking off of what Kyle and Anna just said, but my favorite scene, which I don't know, it's weird that I'm calling it my favorite, was after, are we doing the spoiler things? After the
character died
and Stella freaked out in her room and just like tore everything apart. Like that was teenage me when like I found out about like a friend from who had CF that died. Actually not teenage, I was 20 something. But that was like, that one really hit me. It was like, yeah, like you hate this disease when it takes people away from you and you just get incredibly angry. And I think that all the emotional parts that like the people that know us don't necessarily really see us go through because they're like private to us was important to me. Like I was sitting next to my mom and when Poe said that thing about like, you know, what someone gets for loving me, they get to pay all my medical bills and watch me die. Like she said that hit her and she never like thought that I might think that way about relationships. And I was like, well, yeah, obviously I think that way. So that was like a conversation starter that we had never had. And the body image thing too, I think is so important, but I do want to say once they jumped into that pool, any distance, like bacterial infection, like water, that was silly to me. But that scene really was important. And I think it was great that their scars, like I knew what all those scars were for. So they were in the right places. That was really cool too. But I think that what Kyle said about tying it to something emotional makes more of an impact. I think that's probably really spot on. And I think it's important that this film showed so many hard grieving and coping emotions, even if they were a bit traumatic.
CF is traumatic.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that one. Thank you, Colleen. Well, unbelievably, we are out of time. And I have to say, I have loved every moment of this discussion, and I am so grateful to everybody who participated and honestly shared their feelings and their experiences. This has just been an incredible, incredible event. So, you know, this is, as I said in the beginning, first time we've done something like this, and it really kind of opens a whole new world to us for other topics and other town halls we might have. So I want to ask you in advance, we're probably going to send you some kind of Survey Monkey thing, because we do want to know what would make it better, what worked, what didn't work as a participant, because we hope we'll be doing this kind of thing more in the future. So before we go, I want to thank again our sponsors, Vertex, Chiesi USA, Gilead Sciences, and additional support from AbbVie. I really look forward to continuing this conversation, maybe on other topics. But in the meantime, this has been a great night, and I thank you all so much. Good night.